Welcome to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. It's our desire to see you cross over into God's plan for your life through the teaching of His Word. Coming up on Crossover Radio, Pastor Eric is continuing verse by verse through the book of Revelation. So join us as we pick up in chapter 9, verse 1, and here's Pastor Eric.
When the fifth angel sounded back at verse 1, John says, I saw a star fallen. Notice the word fallen is past tense. I believe that this is a reference to Satan, and we will point out a few reasons why as we make our way through. I saw a star fallen, past tense, from heaven to the earth. Now, Jesus, speaking of, the future, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan is a fallen being, but Satan is not yet fallen from heaven. That will actually happen in the middle of the tribulation period. It will probably happen over the abomination of desolation, and you can read about that later in chapter 12. But in chapter 12, verse 12, it speaks of Satan being cast out of heaven. It says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe, that's very interesting, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. It's in this 12th chapter of Revelation that Satan falls from heaven, no longer permitted to return there. And I believe that's what is referred to as John says, I see an angel fallen from heaven. His name is translated destruction and destroyer. I believe it's a reference to Satan. So I saw an angel fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. You say, what is that? The bottomless pit. You feel like you're watching a horror movie or something like that. But the bottomless pit is this shaft that apparently runs through the center of the earth. The bottomless pit is a place of incarceration. It's jail. It's a place of incarceration for fallen spirits, demons. You remember that when Jesus approached the man who was possessed by many demons, when Jesus asked what his name was, he said Legion because he was possessed by many demons. And as Jesus was going to cast these demons out of this man, we read that the demons begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. It's the same word for the bottomless pit that we have in front of us here. It is the place where Satan will be confined. Now, he's not in there now. And we see in verse 1 that he's given the key to the bottomless pit to release the demons out of the bottomless pit. But when Jesus comes back to the earth, when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, Satan will be confined in this place called the bottomless pit. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 3. So John says, I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like smoke out of a great furnace. So as Satan opens this bottomless pit up, it just belches out this smoke. And then out of the smoke, the sun and the air being darkened by the smoke, out of the smoke, these demonic creatures, which are given a body which is something like locust, but locusts that have a scorpion's tail. They're demonic creatures given a body for the purpose of this judgment. Out of the smoke, locust came upon the earth, and to them, notice, was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power, that is to sting and to inflict pain. Notice, and they were commanded, God does set parameters to how much destruction these and pain these demons are able to accomplish. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing like normal locusts would. They were commanded not to harm the grass or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Those who have the seal of God on their foreheads are the 144,000 that we looked at in chapter 7. And they were not given authority, verse 5, to kill. It's interesting. You know, God has to withhold these demonic creatures from even bringing death. Satan is so vicious and such a destroyer. But they were not given authority to kill, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So here's the deal. It would seem that these demonic creatures that come belching out of the bottomless pit are allowed to take on this form of something like locust with a sting like a, like a scorpion. And their scorpion, the sting, when it strikes you, it like doesn't go, the sting doesn't go away in an hour or in 3 hours. It doesn't go away in a day. It doesn't go away in a month. The sting of these things lasts for 5 months. Imagine that. You say, whoa. It's exactly what the angel said. This brings us to verse 6. Notice, in those days, men will seek death. I believe that that is a result of the pain of the sting. They want to just end their life to get away from it. Will God let them? Look at this. In those days, men will seek death, and they will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. It could be that this sting, which also is painful, so painful and lasting for 5 months, it could be that the venom from this sting is also paralyzing. And so there you are, stung by this creature. You're paralyzed. You can't talk and express the pain that you're in. And you would love to just take your own life or have somebody take your own life, but you can't communicate it. You can't do anything about it. You're paralyzed. You're just laid out as a result of it. And you're just in a state of torment. But notice that these creatures have to be withheld from even further destruction upon mankind. That's just how wicked hell is. And these people that are being tormented, they're unbelievers. You know what? Satan has no earthly friends. He doesn't like you. Listen, you may, you know, go down and be, you know, sitting at the feet of Anton LaVey. I don't know if the guy's even still alive, but you know, you may think you're like this cool devil worshiper. No way. Satan hates you. Even you who are a devil worshiper, Satan hates you. And if God would allow him to get his hands upon you, you can't imagine what would happen to you. But you know what? Even though people are totally off their rocker, worshiping the devil, have no idea what they're doing, God still loves them. And right now, today, is a day that you can repent of sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can be given a brand new life and become a child of God, escaping all these things. I would encourage you, don't risk it. Don't even risk it. Jesus could come back in the rapture of the church at any time, and then this 7-year tribulation period would begin. It would be too late for you. You can fall on your knees and ask Jesus Christ in your heart right then, but you know what? The locusts are still coming. What are you going to do about that? In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust, verse 7, was like horses prepared for battle. I don't think they're that big. And on their heads, there were crowns of something like gold. Their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. So you can hear these things coming. Just to add to the drama. They had tails like scorpions, verse 10, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them. Satan is leading this thing. He's given the key to the bottomless pit. The demons are belched out of it. This is Satan's desire. This is his purpose upon mankind. They had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. That means destruction. But in Greek, he has the name Apollyon, which is the word destroyer. One woe is past. Man, that was only one woe. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Destruction, destroyer, that is Satan's name. Jesus told us about that in John chapter 10. He spoke of Satan as a thief, and he said this of Satan. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Jesus said, "But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." You know what? These things that we're reading about, they are going to come upon the earth. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life. I've come that you might have life." And you know what? God wants to give you that opportunity today. He wants to bring you into a place that you would call life. God calls it eternal life in a relationship with Him. It says, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." You remember this golden altar? This is where the incense was rising before God. This is where the prayers of the saints were coming before God's consideration. It's from this place. It's probably the voice of God. "I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, saying, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.' So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision." So what is happening here is that there are four angels who are released, and they are released to stir up a human army. Now, the fifth trumpet, this was a demonic army. The sixth trumpet, this is a human army, but they're being spurred on by these four very powerful and influential and deceptive angels. We read that there are these four angels, verse 14, that are bound at the great river Euphrates, so fierce that today they are bound. And you're going to see what's happened when they're released, and then it makes complete sense why they are bound, because they would bring total destruction upon the earth today if they could. When you look at the actions of Adolf Hitler and the allies of Germany, you know there was demonic influence behind it, with the death and the destruction and the pain and just the absolute insanity of that regime, of that coalition. You know that there was demonic forces behind it. Here we have these four angels, which are today bound at the river Euphrates, let loose. Verse 15, "So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released. They were released to kill a third of mankind." Well, how do they do it? They stir up an army, which it looks like attacks the earth with atomic weapons. It says, now the number of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. That's the earthly army. Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, jacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of the mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. What John is probably seeing here is some sort of weaponry. But notice, out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which came out of their mouth. So I believe that what John is seeing here is actually a nuclear exchange. By the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, think of it, a third of the earth's population is killed. But it would appear, because of the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, that a third of mankind is killed, it would appear that it might be a nuclear exchange. Listen to this. The effects of nuclear war. In a nuclear explosion, about 90% of the energy is released in less than 1/1,000,000th of a second. Most of this is in the form of heat and shock waves, which produce the damage. It is this immediate and direct explosive power which could devastate urban centers in a major nuclear war. The dimensions of the initial catastrophe should not overshadow the after effects of a nuclear war. They would be global, affecting nations remote from the fighting for many years. Notice it says by the fire, the smoke, like fallout, and the brimstone. It has been estimated that an attack on U.S. population centers by 100 weapons, okay, this is merely 100 weapons being detonated. It's estimated that an attack on U.S. population centers by 100 weapons of 1 megaton fission would kill up to 20% of the population immediately through the blast, the heat, and the ground shock, and an instant radiation effect. So this is 20% of the U.S. population knocked out by simply 100 weapons. How many weapons does Russia have? How many weapons does China have? Listen to this. You think 1,000 nuclear warheads could be detonated in the continental United States? You think that there's the possibility of somebody delivering that type of destruction to the U.S.? Well, it says here that an attack with 1,000 such weapons would destroy, listen to this, immediately half the U.S. population. And these figures do not include additional deaths from fires, lack of medication, starvation, and lethal fallout showering to the ground downwind of the burst points of the weapons. God is holding all these things back. How do you think you should respond to God? Because of his goodness. God is keeping demonic spirits from stirring this kind of devastation up. How do you think you ought to respond to God for his goodness in keeping these things from us? By these three plagues, verse 18, a third of mankind was killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Boy, I'd say. Again, I think that John was seeing some sort of armament there. Now look at the reaction of the earth after. Think of it, after these things happen. Verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, hear, nor walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality, and their thefts. The condition of the human heart is so hard at this point that even in the face of these terrifying judgments, they will not repent. So let me ask you, Calvary Chapel Crossover, whether you're believers or non-believers, are you in need of repentance today? Notice, they didn't repent of their murders. You know, Jesus said hatred leads to murder, and hatred is sin. You have hatred in your heart towards somebody else? They did not repent of their sorceries. Drug use was involved in sorceries. You got an issue with doing drugs? You got to repent, man. You got to bring that to God. You got to call out to Him for help. You can't fool around with that stuff. These folks didn't repent of their murders. They didn't repent of their drug use. You're not going to be like them, are you? And behave as they behaved or will behave. They did not repent of their sexual immorality. You know what? There's no place for sexual immorality among us today. Whether it's something you're engaging with a girlfriend or something that takes place between you and what's going on the internet or your computer. Listen, these people would not repent. What about you? So you know what? Maybe there's something in your life that you need to repent of today that was not in this list. You know what? Let's get it done. And you know what? If there's stuff in your life that's not right, you got hatred in your heart towards someone, you got resentment, maybe it hasn't led to murder, but you know what? Jesus said it's the same thing from God's perspective. You know what? If there's something going on in your life concerning sexual immorality, you know what? If there's something going on with drug use, there's theft involved, what you're doing, you got to get it right before God. You got to get it right before God. Because today is a day that you can repent and be saved. You'll be taken away from the earth with the rest of us and escape all these things. But if you hesitate, if you wait, if you think about a time that might be better, and Jesus comes, it'll be too late. Oh, you can probably repent after we're all gone, but you'll still have to face all these things. Don't wait. Get right with God now. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word, which shows us the things, Lord, that you would desire to spare us from. As it shows us, Lord, your heart, that you love us, Lord, that you care about us. Listen, if you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, look, you can do that. Jesus wants you to be willing to turn from your sin. Hey, listen, I know what it's like to try and stop doing drugs and you can't. I know what that's like. You can't. I'm just saying Jesus wants you to be willing because he'll come in and he'll help you. I know what it's like to not be able to stop drinking. But Jesus is stronger, and Jesus will come into your life and he will help you. I know what it's like to be lost in sexual immorality, and you just like, I can't turn from this. I can't. I'm not strong enough. But Jesus Christ is stronger. He'll help you, and he loves you. Joining a church won't help you, but joining Jesus will help you. And I just want you to pray to Jesus and ask him into your life today. And if you want that, then just repeat these words after me. This is you talking to God, praying, asking that he would come into your life and that he would forgive you of your sins and that he would give you eternal life. You're going to escape all this stuff we just read today. If you want that, then you just pray with me. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe in you and I ask that you would forgive me. I have sinned against you, but I ask that you would forgive me. And God, I turn from my sin, but I can't do it unless you help me. I need a miracle in my life, God. I pray that you would come and help me. I pray that you would come into my life and help me to follow you now. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. If you're interested in hearing this message again, go to our website, crossoverradioministry.com, or call us at 949-705-9272. We'd like to make available to you Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from the book of Revelation. If you'd like a copy of Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from today's study, it's available at our website, crossoverradioministry.com. And while you're there, send us an email to let us know you're listening at crossoverradioministry@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to write, you can do so at P.O. Box 1673, Brea, California, 92821. Be sure to include the call letters of this station so we know where our radio ministry is being effective. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time on Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble. Crossover Radio is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Crossover.